system that will help us record as well as transcribe the meeting for us, that will give us more flexibility in the distance. And maybe we talk about maybe configurations or something different,
yeah.
But what we have right now, we just need to use our outside voices.
Yes. Well, welcome everyone to board meeting tonight. We'll do a quick roll call.
Michael Winkley.
Ashley Hintzey.
Emily Douglas.
Tina Smith.
That's everybody. And we are waiting for Daniel to join us online. And it is 7:02 on September the 11th. All right. And we'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And Lindsay is she not joining us tonight at all, or is she? Okay, all right. And we're also missing Lindsay, but we do have a quorum of four. All right, let's get to some board business. We have some UAPC training tonight. So, fun times, nerdy times. I'm super excited. I'm super excited.
I'm glad. I'm always glad when someone's excited. So my name is Jennifer Mulder. I work with UAPCS. I have been working with charter schools in Utah County for, I don't know anymore, over 10 years. Long enough that I almost hired Rick before he came here. Let's put it that way.
So, I'm so glad you did not.
I know. It was splitting hairs back then, but yeah. It was a very long time ago. So I'm happy to be here tonight to talk about the role of governance for your board. One of the things that I used to do for UAPCS was work with troubled schools. So I have a lot of cautionary tales. I will try to put the positive spin on things tonight. It's much more fun to get to work with schools that are in a good place, like with you.
And it's up here, her budget. So
okay.
If you want to flip around, you
yes.
can. Or
yeah.
Utah Association of Public Charter Schools. And so I'm actually funded by a grant from the State Charter School Board and some other various places. So tonight we're going to talk about a couple things, and then I'm going to be coming to your next two board meetings as well. We're going to talk about governance versus management, authority and voice, and accountability. And these are really the big ticket items of what you need to be doing as a board. If you can keep these things in mind, you are well on your way to success. So first up is governance versus management. This really, I think, is the most critical thing for boards to get right and to keep a successful school culture and a great director. As I said, I almost hired Rick. I have a few not so great board management governance issues, and most charter schools do in the early years as they're trying to get their feet under them. You guys have a great system set up, so that makes life much easier there. But you need to delineate who does what, because sometimes board members think that they get to make all the decisions, and then they get upset when a director does something, or directors think that they need to make all the decisions, and then the vice versa happens. The most important thing is that you say who's responsible for what. That it really doesn't matter what works for your charter school, you know, what your details are, but make sure that the roles are defined. But generally, you want the board to own the outcomes. They want to set the goals. They want to be accountable for the charter and the goals that are in there and their agreements that they have with the state. The director gets to choose how that happens. If you don't allow your director to choose the method for how that happens, you can't hold him accountable for the performance of the school. So that's the really important part, is that if you want to hold them accountable to reach certain goals or certain outcomes, you need to allow them to have room to make good decisions and to be able to use their expertise to reach those goals that you want. Does that make everybody? Any questions? Okay, so here's the types of things that that board should be looking at specifically. First and foremost is your charter fidelity. The state has an agreement with you. They give you millions of dollars every year to make sure that you follow what you've said you're going to do. One of the easy ways to do that is to use dashboards, maybe at your board meetings, to enter in your charter enter the things you've agreed to with the charters, and then also any goals that you have as a school. And then on a regular basis, you should be able to look at these dashboards and quickly see how you're doing. It's not rocket science, but a lot of times people, if they're used to the business world, people don't see this as a business. They see this as a school and have a different mindset. It is a multi-million dollar business, so you need to do those same kinds of things. You should be making sure that you have a good governance structure, making sure that you have operating committees, that you have people looking at different topics, such as academics, finance, maybe fundraising, maybe governance and policies, but you need people, specific people looking at each of these areas. Maybe they're all the areas you have on your dashboard, and making sure that it's not one individual that's responsible for any of those things. You also should be setting up some good strategic planning. It is, you don't want to be in a reactionary firefighting mode all the time. That is not when good things happen. You want to make sure that you have plans for your school, that you're moving towards those plans, and that you don't let somebody's knee-jerk reaction or idea that somebody told them about yesterday derail where you're headed as a school. That's not to say that you can't course correct, but you need to do it in a strategic way and make sure that you're doing some good long-range planning for your school as well as for individuals, for your administration, for your board members. You should be having people on committees right now that you want to move into board positions down the road, making sure that people are getting trained and understand what they need to do before the need arises. We used to joke and say, you never know when someone's going to get hit by a truck in my family. Then we had someone we hired at our charter school, and literally they got hit by a truck like within the first week of them coming to work, and then they were out for months. It's not about not liking the person in the individual seat. It's about making some really good choices to make sure that everything you have going on here can continue outside of any particular individual. The school is more important than individuals. If your school relies on one person to succeed, you have a problem. Okay? So you want to make sure it's not about individuals. Okay, now the director gets to handle the fun stuff. The day-to-day operations, hiring and evaluation of staff, parent concerns, those are all the things that they get to own, because those are things that help you reach those goals. Those are the things you're going to hold them accountable for, the methods to get to your goals, so you need to let them make those choices. A lot of times parents think that boards should step in and micromanage. That is not your role. We'll get to that, what your role is in a minute, but yeah.
Question. So what if we as a board have professional expertise in a certain area that's applicable at a school? Mm-hmm. How do we offer thoughts, suggestions, guidance that might be helpful? And is it our role to do that at all?
I absolutely think that you should provide that. We're going to talk about hacks in a minute.
Okay.
But you need to understand that as a board member, you are an individual. You can express your opinions in a board meeting, but if the decision goes a way that you don't like, you don't have any authority outside of any other board member. And so once the decision is made, the board moves forward with a vote. The authority of being a board member comes from the votes. It is not with an individual person. So the only way you have authority is by voting in the board. And if you are on the wrong side of that vote, too bad, so sad. when you have that expertise, you should definitely share that. But the actual authority comes from a board vote. So a board member. Well, we'll get sentiment. I'll wait for that. Okay, so next we're going to talk about authority and voice, which is where we're going to get to more of those kind of questions. How many board members are parents? Okay, a lot of you, which is typical in a charter school. This just means that you have to be extra careful about what you're doing. You need to think about what hat you're wearing at the time, and you need to be very clear with lots of people, but particularly Mr. Meese, about what hat you're wearing at the time. So, for instance, one time I was the board chair. I disagreed with our director about something strongly. Kids should be able to wear coats when they have to go outside and it's 10 degrees outside. Okay, I felt really strongly about this. She disagreed with me. We had a very robust discussion, but we both were very clear on what hats we were wearing at the time. I was the parent. I could express my parent concerns to the director. I could not tell the director what to do as the board chair because I don't have any authority as an individual. Sometimes board members come walking into the school and start telling teachers what they should do, and you can't do that to my son, do you know who I am, and those kinds of things. Doesn't matter who you are. You don't have any authority unless you're voting in a notice board meeting. You have zero authority otherwise. So make sure that, and you're going to be in the school, you're going to be interacting, but be overly clear about what hat you're wearing at what time, because people are going to misinterpret what you do. It is not unusual for teachers in particular to be very fearful of board members because they think that they can have them fired. That's not how it works, but they don't know that. So you need to be the one to inform them. You know what? I'm here as so-and-so's parent. This is my concern. I'd like to work through this, whatever. If it is an issue, sometimes I can be very opinionated. Some teachers didn't always know how to handle that. So I had a system set up with our director. I could tell her and she would deal with it because that way no one misunderstood the hats. You know, so you can kind of play with it to figure out what works, but be very clear about how you're presenting things that you're saying in the school, because it will probably be taken out of context. Any questions about that?
I'll just share a comment.
Yeah.
I kind of thought it'd be easy to hang under the radar, like you member the board, contribute, and it wouldn't really be like a thing. But like from the time that we had our last meeting and this meeting, I've already had people come up to me and say, I saw your name on the board of directors. Is that you? Oh, okay. So people are paying attention to this stuff.
You would be really surprised. I joined one board that I did not have children at.
Mm-hmm.
I got a friend request from my developer on Facebook within 24 hours.
Oh.
Like, people are paying a lot more attention. So that's why you need to be extra clear in what you're putting forward. Okay. And so we kind of talked about this a little bit already, but your authority only comes from votes. If you walk into something at the school and you're not seeing what you like, you can express your concern, but you are just one person in the school. You don't get to make any kind of special statements or special role or anything like that. Your only authority, with one exception we'll talk about in a minute, comes from a full vote of the board. The reason is that we all have a better perspective when we discuss things together. You might have one perspective and you might have another, and if we come together and talk about them, odds are instead of swinging the pendulum really far from one way to the other, we're going to end up in the middle and we're going to make a reasonable decision for the school. And so that's why you want multiple people. You want to mellow out opinions and get lots of perspective before you move forward. Okay, so the one exception is if you have conferred authority. So sometimes there are things that a board needs to do that you need one individual to take care of. You can vote in a board meeting to say the board authorizes the board chair to sign this contract or to let this employee go or something like that. Because as a board, and we'll talk about open and public meetings in two more months, but as a board, sometimes there are things that are a little bit sticky that you don't want to do in an open board meeting, maybe, that will be public and all of that. Or you just need an individual to sign instead of, you know, seven people. And so you can confer that authority through a vote to an individual. But it's not to do whatever they want. It's for a very specific purpose that is outlined in that vote. Okay. Okay, so next up we're going to talk about accountability. A lot of people get this wrong, especially because you're elected. I assume most of your board members are elected, probably some are appointed by parents. Your authority and your responsibility is not to the parents of your school. That's how you might have gotten on the board, but your role, the purpose, is to represent the state of Utah. They're giving you millions of dollars. They want you to make reasonable, informed decisions with that money. So since they don't want to be involved in all the details, they say, we need a group of people, again, that group, so that you have not swings, you have good, moderate decisions. We want this group of people to make sure that the way you're spending our money is reasonable. That's what your role is. Whatever library program, state testing program, whatever the heck somebody's upset about this week, doesn't matter. You're not a representative. You're not a congressman. This is not about votes. This is about making good decisions for the school with the state's money. So you're going to abide by the rules and laws that the state passes. If somebody's upset, they're welcome to go talk to their legislator or whoever is making those decisions, but you're not the ones who are doing that. Your role is to make sure you're following the law and spending money wisely and in a good, spending taxpayer money in a good way. Any questions about that? Don't let anybody come in and, you know, I pay your salary, you should do what I want. You know, no, you don't. I'm just making sure that we're spending money well.
I'm free.
We don't get paid enough.
That's a whole other legal problem.
Sometimes we get fed, but that's about it.
Sometimes Rick brings cookies, but that's about it.
But I don't know. Right. Today we didn't cut it.
No. It's a thankless job, that's for sure. Okay, so this is another big ticket item that I see a lot of times. A lot of times board members go, well, Mr. Vesey's the one who went to school for this. He's actually got a degree, and you know he's the one who knows what he's doing. If he should make all the decisions. And we'll vote and make things approved because the state requires that, but he's the one who knows what he's doing. We're going to let him do that. Doesn't work out so well. There's a lot of closed schools who have tried to do that. Not that I think that he would go there, but you're here to keep him honest, okay? You are the one who holds the charter. Despite the fact that when the state is upset about something, they'll probably send him the email, when things really go south, you're the ones they're going to make sit up there in the hot seat. And you're the ones that the news crew is going to want to talk to. So as much as he's the one in the office all day long, you are the ones on the hook. So make sure that you are comfortable with decisions that are being made. Make sure that you understand the details that are being made. There are no dumb questions. You might not have to know the nitty-gritty details of every detail of your multiple bonds at this point, it sounds like. But you need to be comfortable with them enough to know that they are reasonable and good decisions and that you're meeting your requirements. You are the ones who vote. You are the ones who are, that's why, because you're the ones who are accountable and you oversee the director. If the director says, you know what, we're not going to run state testing this year, it's not that important, I don't really think we need to do that, that's how one school got closed. It's really not a good idea, okay? You, regardless of what decision he makes, you're the ones who oversee him. And so you have to be comfortable with those and make sure that he's not going rogue.
Because we all know that's what happened.
Should I bring up this one? Should I bring up that one? No.
I hope that they thought they could just disregard the law. That's
I know, right? Well, Stranger Things. You can't make this up.
I really wish I was this creative. nothing that isn't talked about because it didn't happen. Like, all of this happened. All of these really annoying laws are usually because somebody was being stupid. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just dumb.
Yeah.
The other thing that I see happen is a lot of boards, because the director is the only staff member that you directly oversee, they tend to abdicate that authority. They're not really sure what to do, what that looks like. It's a little bit hard. Everything's going good. School's great. We're not going to worry about that. You have to evaluate your director annually. You should be doing it quarterly with little check-ins. Maybe you have a committee that's over that. You have set some annual goals, and then you check in throughout the year. If you wait till the end of the year and there's something going on that you don't like, it's going to fester. And then you're going to get towards the end of the year, and if you wait till the end of the year because you don't really want to let him know, I'm giving you a hard time. But
I wore the wrong color shirt.
You're all good. So you need to hold them accountable. You can't wait till the end of the school year because all of the good directors will be gone. I can guarantee you. This is something that needs to happen on an ongoing basis. There should be no surprises for anybody. You should have clear metrics set up. You should have him do a self-evaluation. Most of the time, either board or directors, I would say directors are usually harder on themselves than the board would be. They probably already know whatever is worrying you, unless they're just one of those rogue ones who doesn't want to do state testing or something annoying like that. But for the most part, they probably already know. It's a great opportunity to talk about how you can support them, how you can maybe make their life easier. That last item up there is an open discussion of professional development and career goals. One of the great things that happened once we started doing this and doing it well was that we understood that our director at the time was not worried about getting paid more. I know that sounds shocking, but really that wasn't what she was there for. But she had lots of small children at home. And what was really valuable to her, we found out, was having a day to work from home. This was all pre-COVID. That was an unusual thing, but she needed focus time. And if any of you have been in the school office, you can imagine that there's not a lot of focus time going on at work. So it didn't cost the school anything, which was great because we didn't have the extra money. But we were able to figure out what her professional development career goals were and how we could support her. And that turned into a great thing. Unfortunately, it was so great that she left the school. But she had let us know what her career goal was, and she achieved it. She's now a professor at a university, so that's great with her PhD. You know, but we were able to work out what would work for both of us and move forward in a way that was really beneficial to both sides. So hopefully that's what comes out of these director evaluations. This isn't meant to be punitive. This is just, if you need to have a little course correction, you can make it before it becomes a big issue. And so that's really good to have that open method of communication. And I'm just going to throw this out here. And again, I'm not worried about Rick. But because some people are very uncomfortable with tough questions, or they feel if they're going to bring something up that it makes it an adversarial relationship. So I'm going to throw this quote out. It says, in a strong board chief executive relationship, the partners ask tough questions of each other and encourage creative thinking and learning. They put policies and discipline practices into place that truly bring out the best in each other. They search out fresh perspectives together and continually strive to generate and model balance, cooperation, and excellence in the governance and management of nonprofit organizations. This is what you should be doing between your director and board relationships. Whether it's in a board meeting, whether it's in your evaluations, you are helping each other become better. And sometimes that means leaving your comfort zone. Sometimes that might mean saying something that you don't feel quite comfortable with. That's okay. The point is to do it in a respectful way, but you're going to make each other stronger, and more importantly, you're going to make your school stronger. And so you should not be a rubber stamp. You should be asking and learning and looking for new ways to do things. And none of us can come up with all of those on our own. That's why we have a team. And so that's the really important thing. If you leave directors off on their own, that's shortcutting them as much as it's shortcutting your school. Any questions? So there are also some resources. If you go to utahcharters.org, which is the UAPCS website, they have a resource library. Under governance, there's a number of topics that are going to be particularly of interest to boards, like director evaluation ideas, and anytime one of us comes across something that looks really interesting, then we'll put it up there. So that's just a kind of consolidated place of some good best practices that, we found. So like evaluations is one of those things that typically is a little tough. You should also be doing board evaluations. And so there are some examples of that up there, because just like you want to make the director better and set goals, you should be doing the same thing for you as a board. That is all I have tonight. Are there any questions, concerns?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Good luck with everything. And then I will see you again next month.
And we are very excited.
And then did someone join us too?
Yes. Daniel, I just wanted to confirm that that's, thank you, Jennifer.
See
ya. I just wanted to confirm that that's you that's joined. Daniel?
That's not what happened with mine.
Daniel, if you're still on mute, if that is you trying to chat.
Sure, yeah. If you can hear us, Daniel, can we flip the lights on and off?
Very good.
Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and keep moving and just let us know if Daniel or whoever else joined on. Okay, next is our CAP report and assignments. Is that me? Or is that Mr. Beasley? Or is that Tina?
That would be me. So there is the CAP report that Rick just recently gave us access to. It will allow us to see what the teachers are planning for and how it connects to the charter. So we now, as board, have access to that. There's also the board observation sheet that I believe, can you remind me, was that sent out in a separate email?
Okay.
On Monday.
I saw that.
Okay. So the CAP information is for us to know and understand what activities are being done at school that we might want to participate in. When I say participate, what I mean is observe and to come and support them in that event. If we do that, the board observation sheet is a way for us to track who's gone to what activity. And if you notice, Cassie's been really great at putting pre-filling in those certain events as she gets notification from a variety of different sources. For us as board members, it's helpful if we can jot down a quick, some quick observations of what we saw during that event, put our name down there, and then we also have an ability to indicate which policy this might be meeting. So on the other side of this document, I linked the global ends policies, the language arts and mathematics policy, the parent satisfaction policy, and the science arts and technology ends policies. So those policies are specifically four that we hold Rick accountable to. And then there's the charter application and bylaws. So it gives us a chance to directly tie certain things to the policies. And in a way, we're evaluating the school on a regular and consistent basis. And this is the documentation that allows us to keep track of it. So at the end of the year, we're not saying, well, who went to what, and what did we think, and what policy? It kind of clarifies and streamlines our observation and evaluation process. So I wanted to make sure you guys had access to those, and just as a reminder of what they're for. The one thought is, I don't know that we want to take board time each month to figure out who does what, but it might be good to report out on what we were able to see in between one month or another. So that might be a recurring, if it's okay with Ashley, that might be a recurring item on the agenda to give us some time to, or could be part of our board member reports. We can kind of work out how we want to put that on. But that's just as a reminder of why those two things are an important tool.
Question about the sheet.
doesn't really, like, how do I know where, like, if I wanted to go to fifth grade camp, what's the easiest way to me find out where fifth grade camp is?
You could ask the fifth grade parent, but sometimes even the fifth grade parents don't know.
Mm-hmm. So I would just reach out to a teacher. That's fine to just say, hey, I'm a board member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. More information.
I'd like to come to your camp. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Rick, definitely, if you have information on that as well.
Yeah, I was just saying that I'm looking at the notification method, and that might point you in the right direction. So if it was from the CAP, fifth grade CAP, then you would know, okay, let me email a fifth grade teacher. But I can... I think, yeah, if there's something that's more helpful, we can maybe put team leads so you know which teacher on the team to email. Like, I can try to think through maybe the easiest way for you guys to have that information.
If there's a column or something that has the contact info.
Yeah.
You guys need another sheet because the team leads switch every year.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have maybe a separate sheet with it, like inside the...
Just like another
tab down at the bottom.
A tab at the bottom that will show you who's in charge of these three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Can you reach out to
update
that each year?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Emily, that's something that you and Kelsey can do. That'd be great.
You just worked yourself into
like you're just awesome. Something new. No, this is great. Thank you all both for this. And then the next item up is, or did we have any other comments on that? Okay. It's our library creation, and that's Ms. Tina.
So I got a bee in my bonnet when I was talking to Jen about training, and we were talking about all these things, and I realized that we didn't necessarily have resources here at the school for the board to access if they wanted to check things out. So I had extra books, the new board members, and I have Ashley and Cassie, whoever, I have additional books like this from previous clients, so I can bring some for the rest of the board if they want, but I figured I'd start with the new board members. And then there's one for the school as well, but we're creating a little bit of a library, a governance library for us, leadership governance library, and so we've ordered Charter School Board University, and Good Governance is a Choice, and Save Your Ship. Save Your Ship is a financial proactive, how to avoid fraud and waste financially kind of thing. It's helpful, I think, for board members who may not be financially minded to have it. Brian Carpenter's way to, I'm going to say this in a, to equalize the financial knowledge amongst board members. so that's I found that to be a good resource for those of us who don't have extensive financial background. As you know. So those are three books, and then these two, Governance for Greatness, and then the other one that will hang out in the business office. So anytime you wanted to check one of those books out, you can reach out to Nicole or Cassie, probably Cassie, so to check out that one of those books.
Do we need
Yeah, we probably do. I hadn't thought that far yet ahead, so yeah, we probably do. Cassie and I can figure out what that looks like, but yeah, that's a great, yeah. And my other thought is, as we're, any one of us can, if we see a great leadership book or see a great resource, then let's add it to this library so that over the years we have a place for future board members to have access to as well. So. These books aren't extremely costly, and as we as board members, if we find something, we just need to get approval from Ashley before we spend money or ask Nicole to.
Yes, for you.
I don't have any authority to authorize anyone to spend money, so you need to check with Ashley on that.
Yeah, check with Ashley before we ask you to spend money is what I meant to say, yeah.
And just so you know, my kids know that I'm the one that usually says yes, and Dad's usually the one that says no, so it's just I'm just kidding. I'm usually the one that says no. thank you, Tina. This is a great idea. I'm super excited to have these resources at the school. Our annual reporting calendar, which is funny because I just got an email about this yesterday.
Oh, that's
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
So this is something that I like to know about. It's helpful, and Cassie was kind enough to put it in our agenda or in the board packet. This is what that colorful document that you see. These are all of the reports that our administration has to submit on a monthly basis.
it's helpful for us to know, because some of them we have to approve prior to submittal. So it's helpful for us. I'll take this document and create a board calendar so to make sure that all of the reports are presented to the board in time for us to approve them on time. And Rick and Nicole are great about doing that. I think it's helpful for us, especially with new board members, to understand all that's required of our administrative team. And when there's jokes about another unfunded mandate or another silly report, this gives us context into that. I just said that on camera.
Recorded.
All right. Yes. It's okay, though. I will own that all day long. But it gives us an understanding of all of the requirements for them. And there have been a time or two in the past when we as board members get asked questions about certain reports. And it's helpful for us to know and be aware of. And we want to be an informed board. And so this is really an FYI. There really is no action to it. Once we get it, it'll be a September, October board meeting FYI kind of scenario. Unless the board chooses not to incorporate it in, we don't have to, but my recommendation would be that we include it every year. This is an FYI. That's all.
Sorry, I was just glancing through super quick. Make sure it had everything on there that it was supposed to have on there, you know. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Tina. Mm-hmm. And thanks, Cassie. All right, Mr. VC, Director's Report.
Excellent. As usual, I'm here to answer your questions that you may have from the report. This is certainly an exciting time of the year. Our board meeting in August is exciting, but we hadn't even started school, really. So this is a little more fun. We've got a couple of weeks under our belt, so the report has some more information in there for you. I'll just highlight a couple areas, if that's okay, and then if you have questions. The first areas, just to remind you, relate to the ENDS policies that you as a board have voted on and are requiring me to be held accountable for. So that's why you'll see this in the report each time. I did like the idea of that dashboard. I haven't created one in the past, but that may be a bit of a
good
fit.
I wrote that down too.
Mm-hmm. So I'll look into that too, just as far as trying to present this information to you in another way. But when it comes to the language arts and math ENDS policies, this is that time of year where we collect a lot of data from students through the beginning of the year assessments. And the teachers have been doing that. We use a Cadence for mathematics in K-3, and then we use a Cadence for reading in grades K-5. And then every student K-9 takes the IXL test for both math and literacy. So really two test scores that you'll be seeing in the month of October. I'll email it to you as soon as it's ready, but I won't have a chance to formally present it to you until that October board meeting. But you can have it ahead of time to look at some of the beginning of year data to see what are we looking at this year? How heavy is the lift gonna be to reach our goals? But that's happening now. The teachers held their first data dive yesterday going over this data from the beginning of the year. These reports that they get from both tests helps them break their classes into smaller groups for smaller group instruction called Tier 2 instruction. It also helps for our Tier 3 instruction. So IXL is a new test for us, and it's a new test for you as a board to see reports on. We used to use a test called STAR, and the teachers found the reports to be lacking and not really accurate with what they were seeing in the classroom, as well as when they compared it to a Cadence test. So the IXL is just a better test. It's adaptive for the students, and so it can drill down to their skill levels. And it's got some really strong support tools for the teachers, where after students take the test, it gives them the reports of where the students' next steps would be, and they can get lessons for small groups. It pre-groups the students that have similar needs. It's a really nice support for the teachers to get to the level of instruction these students would benefit from. So we're excited to have that tool in their hands, and that is something where the ECs will be meeting with each team. We're gonna really do two teams at a time for a closer data dive and teach them how to use this tool. And so they all have common prep times, and so we'll be bringing them in to show them how the tools work, use examples from within their classes, just to really make sure they get a good understanding of this resource. It should also help with parent-teacher conferences, because many of you have been to parent-teacher conferences. Sometimes you walk out of there and you think, man, I have total confidence. I know they know what they're going to do to help my kid this year. And other times you might walk out and you're like, I don't know. What did I learn anything tonight? We feel like these reports are really going to put teachers in a better position to communicate what are those next steps they are ready to do for your students. And I'm excited to see that progress when it comes to communicating better to families the plan of the school to help their student. Any questions on the language arts or math ends policy report?
I'm just curious. You said the teachers had their first dive into the data yesterday. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, great question. So this one particularly started in this room, and we showed them the resources. We taught them how to use some of these resources, how to actually pull up these reports, these new reports. And we created an agenda for them as a team. Then we broke away from that meeting, and they went to their teams, and they filled out that agenda. Part of that was one of our other ENDS policies deals with identifying the number of students at the beginning of the year who tested as intensive readers. And then at the end of the year, I report back to you the number of those students at the beginning of the year who were intensive. Did they make a year's growth in a year's time or better? And so one of the parts of that agenda was identifying who are those students in each of their classrooms. And really, there is another question of any surprises. Sometimes a test doesn't really reflect what a student knows. And so it is important to recognize that it is just a test. And we're dealing with children, not, you know, mechanics. And so that sometimes it just doesn't add up. And so we wanted to see, were there any surprises where the test says a student's not reading on grade level, but the teacher observes that the student is the first one to volunteer and reads in front of the class beautifully. You know, that happens. And then that helps the teachers recognize it's probably a test-taking strategy, not putting them in a smaller group to learn how to make sounds. They already know that skill. They just don't know how to take a test. So part of the agenda was really identify the groups of students that they have, any surprises, and then they start putting them into those groups for the ROAR groups that are starting to be utilized at the school, and then the smaller groups for mathematics.
That's great. As a follow-up, what time during day is that held? Is that like immediately following school? Is there a set aside time during the school hours, something like that?
This data dive was held on our Wednesday professional development time, so it's after school. It was at 3:20 and goes to the 5 o'clock. But usually Wednesday afternoons is the twice a month they have team time on a Wednesday, and during each of the one of those is fully dedicated to data dive. The other one, a portion of their team time is data dive. And so we have found great success in using progress monitoring. And so that second meeting where the data dive is really to hold each other accountable that they're doing their progress monitoring effectively, and not just testing kids to test them, but to say, what did the test tell us we should do next? And as a team, they collaborate because we have it's just a great resource. There's some who have taught a year and some who have taught many more years, and they need to share ideas and best practices. So that was the first one. It will continue throughout this year so that we can make sure there are no surprises at the end of the year data that we present to you, and we don't lose a year for any of these kids. When it comes to the science, arts, and technology ends policies, those you will see mostly through the CAP. So I appreciate the work you guys are doing on working through the CAP. If there is a better way to help you stay on top of that, let me know what works for you. There is a lot that goes on in this school, and I have a hard time keeping up with the many wonderful things that the teachers are doing and coming up with. So any of these types of charts, calendars, they really help us recognize the successes happening around the school. The enrollment, just to give you an update, this is obviously important for you for many reasons, but one of those is the next agenda item, which is when we talk about the budget. The budget for this year was planned for 1066. So the report you have at that time, we were at 1,099 students. As of today, we're at 1,101 students. So we are above the budgeted amount of students. So what that equates to is a surplus for the school. to allow us to make decisions as we now have students here at the school. And it means that we don't have to make any cuts to decisions that we felt we wanted to do for this school year. So that's great news that students have been filled into these seats. It is that time of year where it's really tough to fill any of the empty seats. Just very few family dynamics fit with the blanks that we may have at this point. So it's not uncommon for us to say, okay, we wanted to have 125 kindergartners, but we might get to October 1 and only have 123. It wasn't because we didn't have a lot of people interested, it was just we could not find the right dynamic for the family to join us here. And just know that we're okay. We're not going to bounce any checks because of that. We're going to move forward. I don't know. Any questions for me? I love the Roar area where we just get to celebrate. There's so many good things happening. I did update our website with another construction expansion update. So on our website, I'm not projecting. I don't know why I keep looking up there. But on our website, under the About Us, there's a specific block tab down there for this year. Next year's the expansion one. So families, if they go there, it's kind of a checkpoint. I noticed the last one I had done with, I did one in April, then one in July. A lot has happened since July. So I updated it with another one. I think most families can see what's going on, but this update gives them a little more detail. And then I took the drone up just to get a picture because that's fun for people to see as well. But good progress is happening on that. I anticipate that would get discussed during one of these committee reports, so I won't share anything more than that, but just know the school is just remarkably doing well dealing with this unique challenge. So impressed with our staff and how they have just tried their very best to make lemonade. I think they all recognize the value of when this is done, but it is hard to live in. And I recognize their struggles and successes, but and its families as well. So we're doing it. We're going to get there. So thanks for your support. Any questions for me on my report? Cassie will yell at me if I forget to do this. I made a note. I should also let you know that I did sign the agreement for the junior play. And so that has been signed and submitted. It wasn't a contract, so I signed that as an agreement, but just so you know that that one's been done. And I can tell you what it is.
I was going to say, do we get to know what it is? Or is that
I'll tell you when we're closed, because it hasn't been announced to students yet, so I won't make it on. In case any students are listening to this meeting, no,
well, we've got one right outside the door, but yeah. I'm pretty sure she's in.
No, it's going to be Shrek Junior. Shrek Kids, not Shrek.
Right.
Shrek Kids. Right. So it should be a lot of fun. There is some similarities in the set. We try to plan the sets, okay, so they don't have to build a whole new set in such a short amount of time. So it will not be too difficult to turn, you know, the witch's castle into Lord Farquaad's castle and Dorothy's home into Shrek's mud house. And so there's different things that we can do to try to make that a quick transition for our younger students. But super excited. I think we'll have a lot of participation in that. Wizard of Oz for the older students, there's 115 students in that performance, plus the about 30-ish will be in Tech Crew. So that's, again, about 35% participation. So still really great participation in our performing arts areas, and so it's wonderful to see. Okay, thank you.
No, thank you, Ms. Teresi. That was awesome. And I don't know that Annie M would be thrilled that you're calling. You can move her house into a mud hut. Yeah, a mud house. Yeah,
it's an old Kansas farmhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Board member reports. Does anyone have any? I have some shares, but I thought I. Does anyone have anything else they'd
like to? You've heard enough from me tonight. So okay. That is my board report.
Okay. I was able to come to the third grade STEM last Friday, I believe it was, and I visited Miss Curtis's room. I hadn't been into Miss Curtis's room this year, and so that was really fun, really nice. They were building bridges with marshmallows and toothpicks, and I heard several students say, oh, I can't wait to eat these when we're done, and I'm like, oh, dear, let's not. I'll go by. Yeah. After they lick their hands and try to get everything to sit together. Yeah, that was super fun. But it was really fun. The kids really had a really fun time doing that. And then, hooray, I'm going to fifth grade camp next week. And like I said, parents should know where we're going, but some parents don't remember what the name of the camp is that we're driving to next week. So, yeah. Is it Mapledale? Okay, I keep thinking it's not Mapledale. So, okay. Yes, I'm excited. It's always, they always have a fun time. Right. Anyone else have anything else to share? Right.
I don't think so today.
Okay.
I'll just add just an observation from the parents out there. I noticed with the parking situation we had, just general difficulties getting things through. And we saw an email come through where Monday parking took X amount of time. On Tuesday we were able to cut down the time. Observation that I heard from that from quite a few parents is the second day it took less time because parents just circumvented the system and went to Neptune instead. So just an FYI for people in the room.
I did come a little bit later, and I did notice that it was less, but you're right, it could have been because parents were parking at other places to pick their children up. But I did. Today I came at 2:57. And I mean, it was still a little bit of a wait to get around to the other side of the school, but I mean, it wasn't unbearable. I mean, I know we'll get there.
As a side note, I picked up my daughter one day, and it seemed just fine. Everything felt great.
Yeah, the teachers on that side are always very aware, and they're trying to get kids in the car super fast. And so I appreciate them. I know that's not, carpool's not everybody's favorite thing to do anyway. So I think they're doing a great job. Our fun times with committee reports. Hooray! policy committee. We need to do stuff.
We do. We do. We do not have an active policy committee.
Correct.
So I think I'm just throwing it out there with that question. Next steps. We do need to activate this. We have a lot of policies from the legislative session that need to be addressed, correct, either new or revisions to existing policies. So I think that's my question. How do we want to move forward? We should probably get the chair and then find some folks, various stakeholders, to come and be part of it. Not sure. Lindsay, I'll say this, I'll say it differently. Lindsay and I are pretty tied up,
sure,
with the expansion on that front. So, you know, having getting somebody to lead policy committee, and then, you know, collectively, I think we could find some folks to sit on the committee.
Yeah. Sure. Do we know, or do we have a list of what policies we need to focus on first? Can I ask that general question? Anybody?
I have not seen one lately.
Okay.
I can get one. Okay. Let me say this: it can be acquired.
Yes, and I'm happy to start doing whatever needs to be done to do that. This is my first rodeo, so I'm happy to learn what needs to be done to start the policy committees that need to be for policies that need to be revised or new ones that need to be created and all that fun stuff.
We can share the wealth too, as long as we don't have more than 3 board members. I mean, to start, we could have some board members and get some other parents on there too.
Sure.
Probably just would be better not to have more than 3 on any one committee. Be great as we expand committees. Right now, we only have 3: the audit, expansion, and then policy committee. As we,
yeah,
expand those committees, it'd be nice just, you know, one board member on each committee kind of thing with larger committees in place. But I just continually feel a sense of urgency to get policy.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Who currently did you say is on the expansion committee? You are and
Lindsay.
And Lindsay, okay. Mm-hmm.
Lindsay's the chair of that policy committee, and then I sit on it, Rick and Nicole, Craig Cordero, and Austin Hanks, a parent, also sits on the committee.
So Craig and Austin are parents?
Craig is our middle school CPE teacher.
Gotcha.
And who's on the audit committee?
Daniel. He chairs that committee. And then my understanding, actually, I don't know how he works that.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, Jonas was on there with them at the time,
yeah.
And
okay.
Then Jonas moved, that ended that, so yeah. Probably using Alan.
Oh, okay. I forgot. Daniel's right here. Daniel.
Yes.
Daniel, how do you work the committee? Sorry.
Well, right now we're needing to reform it, essentially, because Alan, it was mainly just me and Alan, but I had a couple of people volunteering to help, but they have since moved, so we need to add some new ones.
And outside of the actual audit review, what other activities do you, as your audit committee, take care of?
So, if there's any requests for proposals on the contracts, we will review those and essentially just give recommendations to the board on if we're like just determining between certain contracts.
Do we know if we have any upcoming RFPs in place?
Not off the top of my head, I don't really know.
Nicole might have something to share.
And you're at a disadvantage because when we were talking about this, Nicole leaned over to Rick, and so that made me wonder if there are any upcoming ones. So I know speech and OT and PT sometimes. After a certain time period, I don't know, last time I think it was 3 or 5 year contracts or something to that effect. So, I'm sorry?
You're getting warmer.
Okay.
IT.
IT. Well,
the,
it's
is
a.
Our, is the one that's up for, needs to be up for a new RFP.
Good one.
Now, how long have we had, or how long does the IT RFP, or IT contract,
five years ago.
I think that was the last RFP that we had. It was a while ago. It was when me and Tyler should have come as for running the thing when he was still treasurer.
Yeah. That means OT and PT are far behind. That was the last one I sat on with Tyler as well. But I don't remember as well. So
with that said, I'm happy to participate on any of the committees. If the board has a recommendation where they would prefer me to work on, I'd be more than happy to participate.
Same for me.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I'm taking volunteers for policy committee right now.
I can be on the policy.
You can come join me. Yeah.
Yeah.
not as of yet, no.
I'll bring candy. All right. Serious business. All right. July, any other comments, sorry, on committees? We didn't do extension committee.
Are we going to be filling the chairs tonight, or are we just, like, volunteering? Like, how are we actually organizing it, or are we just throwing it out there?
Good question. I guess my first question was what policies we needed to address. Do we nominate? I don't know how policy committees work.
Typically, we do nominate and or we make a motion to appoint certain individuals. So I might make not a motion, but just an administrative recommendation at this point to, I think there's still things that we need to prepare for before we're ready to formally appoint and or create committees. There's, for every committee, there's actually a guideline of their roles and responsibilities. For each of those committees, and so I think a little pre-work needs to be done so that as we're asking people to participate, we provide that documentation so they know what they're actually saying yes to before they say yes to, because most things take a little bit more time than we think, especially policy and other committees as well. So I might make a recommendation that today is just a discussion and we do some pre-work. And then when we're ready, we can bring it back for a more formal action.
That works for me.
That's good.
Okay. Yes, I'd like to see what policies. That's my recommendation. Very small recommendation. I'd like to see what.
Yeah.
What we're getting ourselves into. I mean, what we need to update.
It's important to see what's coming up. Yes.
Yeah.
Six or seven. The last one is like 2,000 pages, but I can, I know, yeah, I probably could reach out to somebody and find a list.
Okay.
It's now in big, bold letters now. Fine policies. Okay, got it.
Okay. sorry, and I skipped over the rest. Expansion committee, do we have anything to share, updates, anything right now?
I have not been at the last three OAC meetings due to travel, work travel, so I'm going to defer to Rick since Lindsay's not here.
Happy to report. So we're making good progress.
Thank you.
I wish I could say like we're on track, but we weren't really off track except for in one area that sort of compounded with the outside pavement. But the inside is back on the schedule that we had seen as a committee prior to this project even starting. So just exciting things going on. The north side of the building passed its four-way inspection. Roof is on. Windows are going in, so it'll be dried in. They're already doing sheetrock. Insulation and sheetrock is in the building. HVAC systems being installed, all the plumbing. And so that is really far along. The east classroom, same thing. Before this meeting started, I was walking around, window framing is in, a guy was inside hanging sheetrock, the roofer was on the roof, putting the roof, so all that's all moving along very quickly, and that's exciting to watch happen. More excitement has happened on the south side the last week here, as the footings and foundations have all been poured now, and so you see the steel framing that's going up, and that will start to take shape for the theater space. The CMU walls, the cinder block walls have been built. That is the Black Box Theater, so you can see where that is now going to be placed. Since our last board meeting, they completed the back parking lot, and we've been able to use that. Full disclosure, we don't have enough parking still for our faculty and or visitors, and so that is coming soon. You can see the progress that they've made on the front parking lot. The underground retention system has been completed, and so now they're backfilling that. And then you'll soon see the curb and gutter poured to shape the new parking lot. They just finished today basically scalping off all the old asphalt, so it looks like a mess, but it won't be too long from now before you see the shape of the new parking lot coming. And once that's in place, which should be, I think, middle of October is what their scope is showing, that would certainly give us enough parking finally for our daytime needs. And so we are dealing with this probably another month of inadequate parking for all of us. Just as far as an update goes, our directions do tell people that they can park in front of our building on 400 North. So we will be removing some signs and repainting some curbing to make sure that the city police are clear on what is allowed here and not wrongfully ticket people. And that's what they're doing this afternoon. So, had a phone call with them today to get on the same page, and so we'll deal with that. But the backfield, the grass field, has been leveled and with all the topsoil, and they started laying sod today. They're about two-thirds done with that. They'll finish laying the sod tomorrow, and then that starts our two-month timeline before we're allowed to be on it. So that's exciting to see that in place finally. And the fencing around those areas, you'll see that going up as well. They started core drilling some of the holes for the posts. So I would imagine, you know, middle of next week, you'll see all the fencing that's done. So really starting to take shape. And then all of a sudden you'll wonder what's going on, because it'll all be inside and you just won't know. But right now all the fun outside is happening, and it's been good to see that. And we are not perfect at this. There's problems every day that we're dealing with. So I appreciate the work that Stout is doing, trying to manage all of these subcontractors on site, who gotta love them. They're in it to make sure their day goes well, and they don't always think about what they're doing that might make our day not go so well, like parking their trucks in our drive, you know, loop. But we're figuring it out together, and they have been good to work with and very responsive when there is a problem to go out and fix it. So that's helped me. Anything else update? We're within budget. That's the other thing this expansion committee should report to you as a board, is we are spending the money appropriately. All the line items are still where they should be, where we expect them to be. And so no hiccups in our project year to date on in that area. So
another fun tidbit is we have a healthy contingency. So
yes.
And with this far along in the project, that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
That's a good thing.
Thank you. audit committee, Daniel, do you have anything? okay, thanks, friends. Okay, thanks. let's move to our July financial and accounting report, please.
All right.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to report. I'll just let Nicole just on that.
Awesome. So these reports are for July, which is the first month of our fiscal year. So we just barely restarted everything. July is somewhat quiet on the financial front, but it's super busy in our office as we get ready to start the next year with new hires and onboarding and beginning of year orders and that kind of stuff. There's not a lot of reporting that's done in July. For the state, we know that's all coming up here at the end of September and October, so it gets much busier. There's some notes if you guys, for the new board members, we provide the finance and accounting report, which is this, that just kind of highlights some things on our income statement for your review and for your notice. There were some small adjustments to prior periods that are noted there. Those are mostly due to changes that have come about because of audits. And some, like an increase, a receivable was recorded for the FY25 liquor tax. So liquor tax funds our nutrition program, our lunch program. And at the end of every fiscal year, we get a large lump sum once the state has determined how much liquor tax was collected for the year, and then how much they are going to distribute out to students. So we never know what that amount is until July or sometimes August. It just depends on how quickly we get this information. But that is revenue for that was recognized in the last fiscal year because it was earned during that final fiscal year. So that's what those adjustments are mostly due to. And then just some current period notes about items that you may have questions on as you look at the income statement. Some negative amounts that where we recorded receivables, so income that we were going to receive in July, but then it's going to be recognized in the prior fiscal year that then were reversed, and so there's some negatives there. Some line items that normally are expended a lot up front at the beginning of the year, a lot of our professional development money, staff training money, things like that that are front loaded at the beginning of the year. So those are a little bit percentage-wise, they look like they're overspent, but that's typical at this time of the year. So I am open to any questions if anyone has any.
Good.
All right, and we are just finishing up audit. By the end of this month, we have to have all of our actual figures for last year uploaded to the state through their reporting system, and we're well on track to do that. We're just waiting on final sign-offs from the auditors to get started.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, I'm open for a motion.
I move to accept the July financial and accounting reports.
I second.
We haven't been second.
All right, all in favor? I'm sorry, I was waiting for a second.
Fine.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think you're right. Sorry, I was
modified form.
I'm also on the Westlake PTA board, and so
and
we second, and then sometimes I'm listening to the USBE board, and I don't know which rules sometimes I need to follow.
It's not worried. And that may be something that we can revisit with new board members and stuff. Typically, it's just more of a modified, so we can second, but
okay.
I'm
All in favor?
Aye.
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 And no opposed? Or Daniel?
Daniel, what was your vote?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. That passed unanimously. Thank you. Sorry. That's weird. That word came out wrong. All right. Public comment. Public comment. Are you just here to watch us? Okay. Welcome.
You know the sausage you make?
Yeah. And then If we're good, then let's move to our consent agenda. We have the minutes. Everyone got a chance to read through those before tonight, and then also our health insurance contracts. Daniel signed those. Oh my gosh, sorry. Alan Daniels signed those as one of his last hurrahs. So I will take a motion for that.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. All right, that passed unanimously. I don't know why I can't say that today. Action items are TSSA. Who? I know, I'm like, who want Mr. VC or no, who wants to talk about this fun stuff?
We can do it together. All right, so the TSSA, also known as the Teacher and Student Success Act, was put into place back, it was a bill that was passed in 2019. At that point in time, the board approved the Teacher and Student Success Act framework. The state has requested that that framework be reviewed and approved by the board annually, along with the plan. So what Rick has up there on the screen is the plan that's showing you what our total allocation is and then how we are planning to spend those funds and what the strategies are that we're utilizing those funds for.
Most of what you'll see is a lot of the times these coincide with the early learning plan that you also have already seen with those goals for our school. 40% of it, we're allowed to use up to 40% of this for teachers' salary raises. And so we opt to do that every year with this to make sure that we protect raises for certified teachers. And so that's where you see a bulk of that going. And then the rest is broken down usually to those smaller reading and intervention groups.
How many teachers are included in that?
In which one?
In the first one.
In salaries. Really all of them, because yeah, they are all certified licensed teachers.
So how many?
So I just, we've got 15, 15,
glad to see nothing has changed, that we still have to count it every time we want to know how many.
Yeah. It's going to probably be out somewhere in the 50s, right?
Yeah.
Right, yes.
Yeah,
so you're looking
at
between 2,500 of that each kind of
right.
Breakdown. And as a it's a percentage of money, but then when we do the raises, it's typically a step and a percentage growth. So.
Right.
It works out to be that
and
portion.
What I normally do is just take that allocation amount and divide it by the number of teachers, and they all get $1,500 of their salary increase is paid for from that.
I apologize if you said that, but how do we get our total number for the allocation for our 254? There's not a... Okay.
They have a formula.
Has this already been sent to the board to the school?
No.
I mean, state?
To the state, no.
Okay.
No, the board has to approve this before I think that.
Sometimes plans are sent and then they're given back
they
and they tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And then
that's what happened last year.
Okay. So I'm still trying to figure out which reports are you're voluntold and so this one I noticed still has STAR on there. Was that intentional based on last year's data as well?
That was
well?
Something I didn't tell Nicole to update. So
gotcha.
We'll change STAR to IXL.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. I saw the same thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that's I just was curious in timing-wise how that would play out. So. Okay.
She'll ask for public comment probably on this vote. If there's a motion, then they usually ask for public comment.
Oh. Yes, I will.
That's the
thing. So on this as well, is this essential material the same allocation that it was last year?
Yes.
materially.
Yeah, this is pretty consistent.
Okay. It says like math specialist. Is that, those are teachers, right? So do you give them like a stipend to help with that?
Any other questions?
Well, I reviewed this afternoon and I thought that was good.
Right. Do we have public comment? Yes.
I was wondering also, I noticed the start there, but this says Lexia. Are you still using Lexia or are you strictly doing IXL now?
This year we still have Lexia.
Okay.
And that's part of the students' afternoon specialty rotation where they get most of those required minutes, but it's also used in the classroom.
So I have children at another charter school as well, and they use IXL. They used it last year and this year. So are you using IXL just for testing purposes, or is that something that they use?
It's new for our school, IXL, and so it is a tool that we're wanting teachers to use during their curriculum time. And if it's going well, I anticipate it's going to replace the Lexia resource in the coming year.
I enjoy Lexia, but I really, really like IXL.
Yeah, I think we'll get
really
a lot out of that.
Really fine-tune skills.
IXL, just for the boards, IXL isn't as flashy and exciting to the kids as Lexia because Lexia has more gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
But the material they're going to gain out of IXL, I think, is a better resource, and we might have other ways to motivate kids and inspire them to do their best work through that software than emojis and that kind of thing on Lexia. So, you know, they all have their pluses and minuses, but that's where we see that going. So for this year, it's accurately reflecting Lexia. We'll change the IXL at the top, but yes, in coming years, you might see some changes in the software used for the spending plan.
Any other questions? I'll take a motion.
I move to approve the Teacher Student Success Act.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Daniel, we didn't.
Thank you. All right, that makes sense. All right, any reason for closed session? Okay. I'll take a motion to adjourn. Is that how we close?
I move to adjourn.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.